Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. In the largest majority Muslim nation in the world, Indonesia, President Obama is taking questions, actually right at this moment. He's speaking to reporters and talking to the Indonesian people and doing on this second day of an Asian trip, third day of the trip to Asia that will eventually be a 10-day trip. He's reaching out to the Muslim world once again. He's also going to be meeting with world leaders in India, Indonesia, South Korea, Japan, and some of the issues the president is explicitly addressing.
Price and markets open.
Nuclear materials.
Security Council membership.
Democracies of the world.
The terrorist networks.
Thousands of jobs are supported here at home.
Certainly business and terrorism are places that world leaders everywhere in the world seem to see eye to eye on most of the time. But in Asia, there are also issues that must not be mentioned explicitly or at least must be approached much more carefully. And to give us a tour of Obama's Asia trip from the perspective of these unmentionables or less mentionable items is Ian Barumo, author of so many books on Asia, including Bad Element, Behind the Mask, God's Dust, Inventing Japan. Ian Barumo joins us from his home in New York City. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning.
Let's go through this trip here. The president has just left India. I think it's safe to say that the territorial dispute between India and Pakistan over Kashmir is an example of an issue that the president would have difficulty weighing in on under any circumstances and probably is best left unmentioned by President Obama, as indeed it was. What's your assessment of Kashmir in this context of this latest Asia trip?
Well, it's very difficult for him because there's not a great deal the United States can do about what is indeed a very fraught situation, not in the least because of what he has to keep Pakistan on his side as well as India. And, of course, the two are very much on opposite sides in Kashmir. And so almost anything he would say about that subject would be very difficult.
So the lack of an ability to do anything, plus being hamstrung by having to maintain a relationship with both India and Pakistan, means that's an unmentionable. But what do you make of human rights in Indonesia, where the president is right now? He's going to a place that he lived for 4 years. But, you know, it's probably the case that the president can't do much about human rights in Indonesia. Is that a reason not to speak about them?
No, it's not a reason not to speak about them. But, of course, in the post-Bush era, the United States was not best placed to lecture too much on issues of torture and the use of force and so on. I think one thing where the U.S. has some control and where he might say something is about the role of the armed forces in Indonesia, which, of course, was highly politicized before. In fact, it was a military dictatorship. Now Indonesia is one of the most successful, though still flawed, but successful examples of a democratizizing country, and which also has the largest Muslim population in the world. So I think he could say something perhaps about reining in the activities of the special forces, about corruption and so on, but I think he should be probably relatively discreet.
Would dissidents in Indonesia view his visit there as an engagement on human rights issues, even if something isn't explicitly said, because, as you state, this has been a democratizing story in Indonesia? Or will there be more of an expectation of holding Indonesia to the line under some circumstances, like dissidents in China expect from the U.S.?
Well, I think there's a difference between Indonesian dissidents and dissidents in China. And dissidents in China literally can't say things in public, and certainly not in an organized fashion, in protest against their government. They can in Indonesia. They don't need a U.S. president to voice their concerns. So I'm sure that they would want him to hold the government to the line probably more than he will. But on the other hand, I think Indonesia is an example of a country which in some ways needs to be praised a little bit more. Some people talk about Muslims, Islam and democracy being incompatible, Muslims not being able to set up free and open societies. In some ways, Indonesia needs more credit for going fast in the right direction.
Great point. Ian Baruma, author of all sorts of books about Asia, and we're talking about the issues that are perhaps a little more sensitive for the president and some of the world leaders that he'll be speaking with on his 10-day Asia trip. Let's move to Japan. This year on the Hiroshima and Nagasaki days in August, there were actually official U.S. representatives at those nuclear the places where nuclear bombs were used, which was seen as a real moment. For so long, the nuclear issue has not really been a mentionable issue between the U.S. and Japan. First of all, has that changed? And secondly, is the issue over the territorial dispute between Russia and Japan about the Sakhalin Islands sort of the new unmentionable if Obama goes to Japan?
Well, the nuclear issue was unmentionable because there was a don't ask, don't tell policy that the Japan has to be, according to its own constitution, I think, free of nuclear arms. And the U.S. would occasionally have aircraft carriers and so on carrying nuclear arms based at bases in Japan. And that was an unmentionable issue. On the islands, well, that is between Japan and Russia. Sakhalin itself, in fact, is Russian, and certainly after 1945, that's been accepted by Japan. It's about three little islands near Hokkaido, which Russia claims, and so does Japan. They both have some historical justification. There is nothing there. There's no oil, as far as I know, under the seabed. It's some fishery. And it's entirely a question of face. And I think it's probably time Japan faced up to it.
Interesting. Finally, will Taiwan ever be mentioned again in U.S.-China policy, given all the tension over economic issues, Ian Baruma?
Well, it's mentioned all the time, especially by the Chinese. But I think that that was really already given away by Nixon and Kissinger, who agreed that it was Chinese territory. And so the Chinese see it as an entirely domestic issue. The U.S. can't see it as a domestic issue because the sea lanes affect Japan and South Korea as well, and that is why the U.S. still plays the role of the policeman in that area. The only alternative would be for Japan to do it itself, and that would be even less congenial to the Chinese.
Well, it sounds like another don't ask, don't tell in a certain sense here in this 21st century. Ian Baruma, author of books on Asia, including Bad Element, Behind the Mask, God's Dust, and Inventing Japan, speaking with us from New York City on the unmentionable or less mentionable issues on Barack Obama's Asia trip. Thanks so much, Ian.
Thank you.